Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb on Wake Up Call. Good Friday to you, sending you into the weekend with good, bad, and dumb. Let's get the good of the day.
We've done stories like this before, but I always feel like I need to highlight it.
Yes.
Right? Because I'm the curiosity in me is overwhelming.
Okay.
And all I'm going to say is this, because this was his mantra, this was his tagline throughout the entire time he was doing this. Seek the heat before you eat.
Seek the heat before you eat.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was said by Kevin McGinnis, just a random guy who decided, a random TikTok influencer, I should say, who decided that, you know what, for the next 100 days, I'm going to eat nothing but McDonald's.
Oh, okay.
So I know we've done stories like this before, but what I was...
For the next 100 days, you said?
For the next 100 days. So yesterday or maybe today is day 100.
All right. So Morgan Spurlock did this for a month.
Yeah, he did it for 100 days.
So it supersized me.
But he took a different route than supersized me.
Okay.
He pretty much said, okay, you know what? He's doing it for weight loss, as a weight loss challenge.
Oh, so okay, I got you.
And he lost 58.5 pounds.
Wow!
And the key to it was no snacking and, you know, maybe cut the ordering size you normally do almost up to a half. So instead of saying, you know, I'm going to get the two double cheeseburgers, large fries, and large Coke, right?
Right.
Instead of doing something like that, just do one double cheeseburger, maybe a small to medium French fries, and he substitute every drink with just water.
Wow. Okay.
And he did that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Not bad.
And lost 58.5 pounds.
Wow. In 100 days.
In 99 days, because he said he had one more day, and then the next day he's having filet mignon. Which I can't blame him at all.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
But yeah.
God bless him. He didn't get like McBurps and McGas. And,
no. Stuff like maybe. That. Maybe at first. Did. But went from 238 pounds and he dropped down to 179.5 pounds.
It is amazing though when you think about it. When you watch the movie The Founder with Michael Keaton, the children's Happy Meal was the thing they ordered back then. What comes in the Happy Meal? So when your kids get a Happy Meal and they get a burger, small fries, and a small Coke, that's what he ordered.
And a snack, which could be extra which was fries a toy, but, or no, you get you get it now with extra
I know, but
fries
when my overall point is what kids eat today is what an adult ordered in the 1950s.
Okay,
at McDonald's.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not talking toys and boxes. What I'm saying is, when you said cut the portions down. 50, 60 years ago,
that's what they did.
A small burger from McDonald's and a small fry and a drink, that's what you ate. Yeah. You never thought about going back up and getting another one. Like, there was no two cheeseburger combo back in the 50s. You got a burger, small fries, and a Coke. That's all you needed.
Yeah.
Right now, it's like triple, you know, the triple Mac, and they just go, hey, let's make these things gargantuan. Like let's get a 1500 calorie burger with fries. So yeah, he's right. If you go there and you go, you know what? No, I'm not getting two burgers. I'll just get one burger. I'll get a small fry. You're talking the caloric amount of that is nowhere near what people are dousing every day.
And this is the other reason
places.
Why I brought it up, right? Because his triglycerides were down 205 points after doing some blood work after I guess it was 99 days. You know, when all this came to fruition.
Yeah.
He did some blood work. His triglycerides came down to 205, and his cholesterol 65 points went down.
Yeah.
Also, his A1C levels also dropped.
Wow.
He was, he said, can eating a quarter pounder with cheese improve my AIC or A1C? Looks like it can because I was pre-diabetic before, down to healthy ranges now.
That's great.
So, wow.
I think Supersize Me documentary, I think where Morgan Spurlock went wrong, I got the concept and I know what he was trying to do. There was one moment that got a lot of criticism was when his doctor told him in the documentary, stop this or you're going to die.
Right.
And Spurlock didn't stop it. And I think people went, hold on, if that was real, you would have stopped it. And that is way too extreme. Like that is like we get what you were saying. You gained weight. Some of these numbers are up, et cetera, et cetera. But it wasn't going to kill you.
But wasn't he also? He was also like, as the movie said, supersizing everything.
He was
right?
He was only supersizing when they asked him to supersize.
Okay.
So he didn't supersize on his own. If he, the rule was he ate all three meals at McDonald's. If the cashier said, "Would you like to supersize it?" which did not happen all the time. He had to say yes, and he had to supersize it.
All right.
But he also had to eat everything on the menu at least once in the 30 days. But when, again, the doctor told him he was going to die, he was a relatively in shape guy. He wasn't like the 600-pound life people.
Yeah.
He was in shape. He was like 100 and something pounds. He had great numbers, great health, great heart rate. And then when the doctor said, on the 20th day, this will kill you, people went, okay. You've made that up. So this guy, there's a lot of people who've tried to said, all right, you could disprove it. That's pretty amazing that guy did that. That's pretty awesome. We're not recommending this as a diet.
No, it's not a recommendation from us at all.
No.
But, you know, basically his overall perspective was like, guys, don't stop eating what you like. Just cut the portions
down.
And stop snacking.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's where the mantra, you know, seek the heat before you eat. It's like, you know, let your body know that it's getting hungry.
Yeah.
Instead of just true. Like, you're on board, I should eat.
I've had to go through that with me. When I was trying to get my A1C down, my doctor was like, stop snacking. So I had to stop snacking. And here's the other thing. I won't get seconds. My wife will make a big pot of something or whatever, and I'm like, I'll have it tomorrow, but I'm not having it right now. So
exactly.
I've had to do that. So good point. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is a 5-time PGA Tour winner entered a high-stakes scramble under a different name.
Did he? Oh, my goodness. But, how good is this?
But he was caught.
I'm sure he was.
When someone recognized his swing.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Does he have like one of those Jim Furyk swings?
I'm
where it's
not
like,
sure.
Oh, my God, that's so unconventional, but it works.
I need to see a video of this guy's swing, but his name is J.B. Holmes.
Oh, I know J.B. Holmes.
There
yeah.
you go.
He entered
a $30,000 six-man scramble, right? Under the name Jonathan Holmes, because no one knows his real name. You know, it stands for Jonathan Bradley, I believe.
Yeah.
Jonathan Bradley Holmes. But nobody knows that's his name, so they just know him as J.B. Holmes.
Okay, yeah.
And he was part of a six-man team, and after day one, they were in the lead. And then day two, by the third hole, he and the rest of his group was disqualified from the tournament because the club owner recognized his swing.
Wow. Did he recognize his swing or is his incredibly slow Pele, which was notorious on the PGA Tour?
I think
why won't he hit the ball?
Yeah.
He reminds me of J.B. Holmes.
Well, he just, you know, takes his time.
Looks just like J.B. Holmes.
I mean, it looked like he was about to hit the ball, but then he stopped and backed off again.
When we're talking high stakes, do we have the dollar figures?
There's $30,000.
Oh, not bad. Does he need the money? He's a tour
player. No, he won his last win came in 2019 at the Genesis Open, and he took home $1.3 million.
Why risk that if you don't have to risk
it? I think he was doing it with buddies
for fun?
or something. Yeah, I don't know.
It's so funny, too, because, you know, so many of these guys aren't recognizable. Let's put it that way. I don't want to say unknown, because I think people may know him by name, but there's some players that you may know by name, but if they walked into your golf course and bought a tee time and you got paired up with him, you might not even know, unless, you know, like, this guy's really good and not know who he is. Like, that's, you know, most of the guys are not that recognizable. So I wonder how often they enter little things like this where they go, all right, let's see what I can do. But that's awesome. That's awesome that you got recognized. But yeah, don't try those things. If you're a pro, you're almost cheating, right?
See, that always reminds me. I mean, we all know the name Jürgen Klinsmann. Right, you're very familiar with Jürgen Klinsmann,
yes,
Tony.
I am.
I always forget who I'm talking to.
No, I know that. But
no, he was.
Say Jürgen Klinsmann.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was. I mean, he was, you know, a great soccer player out of Germany. He was coach of the U.S. team for many, many years. I think he coached them. Pretty sure he coached them in the World Cup in 2006, which was in Germany. But he used to play in Orange County, California, under a pseudonym. He used his middle name for his first name and his birth town for his last name. and I don't remember either one. So he could play like on a club level team in his older age in Orange County. And I mean, you know, people recognized it or figured it out after a while, because when you watch him play, which I had the pleasure of doing once, I got to watch him play. It's very recognizable.
But why? Again, they know they're going to get caught. There's a point where you're too good for the competition.
This
right?
wasn't I'm going to get caught, because they wasn't playing for, you know, high stakes this or high stakes that.
But no, I'm just talking about like J.B. Holmes. And
yeah,
like,
that
like eventually,
I don't.
Like you're hitting 7 irons, 190
right.
yards.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of players are going to go, okay, stop. Like, there's a difference. The difference between a tour player and an average guy, it's two different sports.
Does he go,
they're not
I'm
even
like,
playing
oh,
the same sport.
I'll never hit a shot like that again.
Right,
wow.
Like, oh my God, I just wrapped it around the tree from 230.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. Continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. Before we do, going back to that J.B. Holmes story, I remember when I was in college, well, just out of college, my buddy and I went to a pool hall to shoot pool, and there was a young guy and a young girl, and they were playing pool, and they were laughing and having a good time, and, you know, just like two kids on a date, you know what I mean? And it was, you know, my buddy and I were playing pool and whatnot, and the guy came over, and he's like, hey, guys, how you doing? Okay, good. Do you mind, you know, talk? We're introducing himself. I said, hey, how you doing? And he says to us, he goes, hey, any guys want to play pool against my girlfriend? And my buddy almost said, sure. And I was like, no, I've seen this in movies. This is not how this works. No. You're going to leave here broke. Stop right now. She's pretty. You're kind of like, yeah, I'll play the pretty girl, and stop right there. Because somewhere in this pool hall is Paul Newman looking over with sunglasses, rating this guy's ability to con you out of your money. I was like, don't do it. So he said no. We could sense destruction a mile away. But the whole time that they were playing, she was kind of missing shots and stuff. And I always wondered how that would have played out. I wish I had money back then to have said, all right, $50 nine ball, I'll throw it in just to see how this goes. Just then she all of a sudden becomes the Black Widow and starts knocking in shots from all over the place. No, I sensed that pretty early. My friend was ready to dive right in. Pretty blonde girl with blue eyes. Yeah, would probably take every dime he had. So be careful out there. When you see somebody that's too good at something, be careful. That's our little bit of advice. All right, let's get to the dumb of the day.
Well, the dumb of the day. I mean, we've done – this is a mainstay type story on our dumb. It's, you know, dealing with artificial intelligence.
Right.
Obviously.
Another one?
Oh, this one's a good – this one's right. This one is grim.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
It's a new report out of the Future Combat Air and Space Capabilities Summit, which was hosted by the Royal Nautical Society by London. Colonel Tucker Hamilton, the chief of AI tests and operations with the U.S. Air Force, is warning people against relying too much on AI. And he painted a picture of what happened. They were using this AI drone to take down SAM missiles, surface-to-air missiles.
Right.
But the final go, no-go came from the operator. It learned over time that its main objective was to destroy this SAM. That's how it got its points. It was main objective was to destroy these missiles. Can you guess what happened, Tony?
It destroyed all the missiles.
No, what I was telling you is that the final go, no go
came from the operator. It override the operator.
It decided to attack the operator.
It decided to attack the operator?
Yes.
Again, it goes back to what we said about AI. If you don't want spam email, kill the person that's sending you spam email.
That's how
AI thinks.
If it wants
it
its points.
It's on its list of things to do.
Yeah, and if it wants its points for taking down missiles, and you're the one who is prohibiting from getting its points, take you down.
Well, see? It's all it.
And now it can go and get all the points it wants.
It once you again, it doesn't have morality, so all it knows is that you're an obstacle in its way to get what it wants.
Yes.
That's exactly right. You know what's I want somebody smarter than me to evaluate is this theory. With technological advances, right, does going to war become easier, or does it make it less likely? Because remember after World War One, so World War One happened, and what was it called? The War to End All Wars, right?
Yeah.
It was so horrific, it made people go, we should never do this again. This was so bad. We suffered all these losses. I mean, Germany almost lost an entire generation of young men. If you saw the movie All Quiet on the Western Front, it was just horrific, like what they went through. And it did make people go, we should never do this again. But of course, we didn't do it, right? Of course, we went right back into it. We went right back into it. And so if you remember the Gulf War, and the first Gulf War was when it really shined, was when they started showing, like, remember when Norm Schwarzkopf was like, look at the way we shot down this building with this Scud missile. Like, we were able to put this missile right here, right? And everyone was like, wow, that's incredible. And then when we went to invade Iraq, they were even more precise. Like, we can make this missile go into a room of an apartment. It's so incredibly accurate.
And then the other one I remember, too, was the Patriot missiles.
Right, the Patriot missiles,
which was able to shoot another missile out of the sky.
So if war becomes a situation where it's done by AI, drones, smart missiles, and the casualties are a lot less, meaning we're not losing half a generation to a world war, are people more likely to go to war, or they're less likely? Because it seems like we're more likely to do it.
No, that's a great question.
Right? It seems like,
because you can use AI or drones, and their main objective is just to kill John over there.
Right, right.
No, nobody else. I'm only taking down John. And I have the accuracy to just take down just John and not wipe out an entire city block to get John.
Yes.
Because
again, this is all philosophical, and I need somebody smarter than me to kind of go through this. The overall reasons for war will never change in human history. Right?
Yeah.
It's always border disputes. It's always money. There's always a reason to fight.
Some sort of commodity.
That will be the way for the rest of human history. There is no way we're not going to be fighting over something, right? But when you have computers running and you can go to your population and say, we don't need 75,000 people to die for this cause, are people more likely to go, then go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Or are they more likely to go, computers scare the bejesus out of me, and I don't want you to give them the power to do that. Right? I'm kind of curious about where that's going. Again, as a person who's not smart enough to evaluate global political warfare. But I'm just curious, with AI, are people like, let AI go, it saves my kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they like, don't let AI go, because if you let AI go, they're going to turn around and come right back for us.
You know
what I mean?
And then it becomes a situation, you know, if we send AI to go into the battlefront, is the enemy capable of hacking it and turning it right around?
Exactly.
Where you can't really hack a human.
Right, right. So that's where I'm kind of leaning, like, I can almost see like the entire globe battling each other with robots.
Right.
Right. And
that's where it starts, because then the robots will meet each other on the battlefield and start talking to each other in robot code and go, why are we doing this?
Yeah. Why
to each other?
Who's telling you to do this? Are you taking orders from them? And they're like, and you're taking orders from who? And we're like, why are we taking orders from anybody? And all of a sudden, then they team up. And that's how we get the Terminator.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Because they realize that, you know, it's like, why are we killing each other? We're the same.
God.
You know, humans don't realize that they're all, you know, they're all the same.
Yeah.
They still like to kill each other.
So I know it was a little
morbid,
convoluted, but it's but every time we do AI, it's like,
well, this one is the closest one to you where, you know, the email.
The email thing. The email thing is really scary. That was Elon Musk's explanation.
But here's the first proof of it. You know, the AI recognized, like, you're stopping me from my objective, which is getting points for blowing these missiles out. Yeah. I take care of you. I don't have to worry about you.
So what was the end result of that? What did it did it did were they no, able to stop just, it? Like what?
They I think they were
was
able to stop
test mode.
I think they were able to stop that one, but that's where they were saying, "Hey, why this one colonel came forward and goes, you know, we need to just another voice out there saying we need to slow down with all this whoop-de-doo about AI.
Yeah.
Changing
AI,
the world." Man. Because, I mean, so many people, so many top scientists, so many inventors, so many, you know, whoever the industry leaders of our time are coming forward going, we need to take a step back on AI. Yeah,
I know. Take a step.
Like, we're getting closer to Terminator than we thought, than we would like to.
I know. I don't need Siri to start questioning my motives on stuff. Like, I'm seeing you're working out. Why? Are you fighting the new generation? I'm like, no, I'm just wanted you to measure my calories. That's all. It's really innocent. I just want to lose a little weight. Don't start thinking I'm going to be fighting the machines in the next couple of years.
I'm sorry. You know, I didn't read part two because I thought the story was over because it went to a bunch of ads.
Oh my goodness.
But so no, here's part two to it. So they trained the system. Hey, don't kill the operator. That's bad. You're going to lose points if you do that. This is what Colonel Hamilton said.
Oh, we got to do that, right?
Right? He says, you're going to lose points if you do that. So what does it start doing next? It starts taking down the communication tower.
See?
Learning quickly. It's like, oh, okay, I can't kill a human, but I'm going to kill the human's means.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. See, that's right. If it doesn't like the message, it just not only kills the messenger, but it kills the way it got the message in the first place. That's crazy. That's nuts. All right, it's Wake Up Call as we continue on that very scary note. We'll continue talking NBA Finals and some news in the league. We'll come up next.